Yeah, leave it open. I have a big enough mouth, I guess, so. Cool. Mrs. Furman, do you prefer Jacqueline, Jackie?
Jackie,
okay, all right.
Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
They only call me Jacqueline when I'm in trouble, so.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what my mom did.
Okay, well, you're not in trouble with me, so I just, I'll call you Jackie, okay. All right, well, it's good to see everybody. Welcome back. We'll get started now. Last week, my wife reminded me, I kind of did it on purpose. I didn't open with the word of prayer for a specific reason, but...
I think you should have put computer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We'll take the... That's what I brought the phone for, but I'll do it later. Okay. You know my pen? Huh? You should.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you. Now she got what it is. Okay, so let's open with prayer, and then we'll get started here. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you, God, giving you praise and glory and honor for who you are, Lord. I just thank you for this night, this opportunity, Lord, just to share your word, Lord, to talk about the important topic of prayer. God, I thank you for these people, your saints who have come back tonight to learn, who want to, again, have a deeper, more effective prayer life, God. I pray you would just use me, Lord, as I prepared the lesson, God, but just speak through me. God, strike any words that you don't want to be spoken, and Lord, just use your spirit to, again, speak through me, God, I pray. Just enlighten everyone tonight, God, just speak to their hearts as well. We love you, Lord. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right, so we are, obviously, this is our How to Pray class, Developing an Effective Prayer Life. So real quick, we're just going to start with a quick recap of week one. So last week we talked about, we defined what prayer is. We defined it as a connection with God, okay? It's our interactivity and our closeness with Him. All right. Okay, I'm trying to figure out the sound. I don't want to keep turning around, so. So we talked a lot about prayer is about a believer's heart, okay? The condition of our heart will be a guiding factor in our prayer life, okay? We talked about that verse of, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and that's a great verse to kind of meditate on and think about. We talk a lot about the absolute importance of prayer. I kind of said if I can get on a chair or do whatever, just to share with God's saints how important prayer is, I would. So hopefully we talked about that and we got that, but just the importance of how prayer is. Okay. I said that prayer and time in God's word are the primary jobs of the child of God. We looked at Acts 6. We kind of got that from the apostles there. So that's our two jobs is prayer and time in God's word. We spoke that God communicates with us through his word, and we communicate back to him through prayer. Okay, it's kind of a two-way street, kind of a download-upload if you're a techie. So we get information from God's word, and we communicate back to him through prayer. And then lastly, I think I said, your prayer life is going to be immensely helped or hindered by your time in God's word, okay? So in a rough, quick couple minutes, that's what we spoke of last week, okay? So tonight's topic is kind of a meat and potatoes type of night. You know, we're going to be talking about constructing a time of prayer, okay? And I forgot the rest of the notebook. So I said I don't give handouts. I kind of gave out some notebooks, so I apologize. So if you need some paper... Feel free or want to grab that if anybody needs some. Okay. I'm sorry. While she's doing that, so the first step in basically our kind of prayer time is just starting. Okay. A lot of us probably want to try to get in shape, right? So what do we do? Whatever exercise program you're gonna be on, just do something. Just start. You know, wake up tomorrow morning and do just one push-up, okay? So we need to just start. I was looking again at the kind of the surveys we took, and some of us had good prayer lives, and some of us, and I don't know who it was, but kind of said, I don't really have any. So this is kind of, not just directed to them, but to all of us, that just start. Just start with something, okay? As simple and as basic as it could be, but just start, okay? So moving on here. And if you have any questions, please stop me. Any, want me to, go in deeper or discuss it more, but feel free. So when should we pray? Every day. Okay? Kind of simple, I know, but don't worry, we're building up. So every day we should pray. It's 7 days a week, 365. We were speaking before somebody came in about how was your prayer life during the week. And some people say, well, I pray in the morning and in the evening. Well, great, so twice a day, but definitely at least every day. Then following on that kind of, so when should we pray? Okay? In the morning. All right? Definitely in the morning. Where do we see that? Do we have like the Bible backing us up with that? Yes. So Psalm 5:3, hopefully, oh wait, I'm sorry. So Mark 1:35 here, the Bible says, "And in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed." And that he is speaking of Jesus. So that's Mark 1:35. Okay? So it says here, a great while. So he got up early, early in the morning. Okay? Very, very early. Second verse here is Psalm 5:3. Okay? It says, "My voice shall thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up." Okay? And there's other verses too, but definitely Scripture seems to indicate and point that the morning is the great time to start. The Bible has a principle of first fruits, and that's more specifically or more speaking of the tithe, but it's a great general principle for our lives that in everything we do, we should give God the first. So the first of our day, the first of our income, the first of everything, okay? So we should, you know, get up early in the morning and do that. And I can hear some people say, I'm just not a morning person, okay? Well, we need to discipline ourselves. Would anybody say that they're just not a morning person? There's no way. Okay, we got a couple. So we got that alarm clock. We just need to turn it, you know, 10, 15, 20 minutes a little bit earlier. Okay, and I know it's difficult, but like anything, as you start a routine, as you start a process, the more you do it, the easier it becomes. Okay, I'm a spiritual person, but I'm also very practical and pragmatic. So like anything, whether it's exercise or whatever you're trying to do in life, you got to get that routine going and get that discipline, and then it becomes a lot easier. So in our prayer life too, just getting up those 15, 20 minutes earlier in the beginning, it's going to be tough, but after a while, it'll be like second nature. Okay, Miss Jackie, you still do your runs? You still doing the marathons?
I haven't done a marathon.
When do you typically train or run?
I run at like 7:15 in the morning.
In the morning, okay, very good. So, again, a lot of people I know work out in the morning. Okay, and we'll speak to that in a little bit, but it's just a good time to set your day. There's a book. I'm sure we've kind of heard of like the 7 Highly Habits of Effective People and all those kind of Ken Blanchard and a lot of those guys are Christians, but there's this one guy that said, in the morning, the first thing you should do is make your bed. Okay, my wife has trained me to do that. But he says it because you're setting your day for success that way. You've accomplished one thing. And it's you know, again, there's more to it than that, but it's just an interesting premise that by doing one constructive thing, you kind of set your day for success. And that's a lot like prayer in the morning. Once you do that, you set your course and you set your day for success. Okay, so hopefully you can agree with that. If not, if you're like, I still can't do it, well then, okay, maybe you're at lunch or maybe you're a lunch break. Hey, Barry, how are you doing, buddy? Come on in. So if you can't do the morning, your first lunch break or at lunch, I mean, just the earlier the better, okay? Because if not, what's going to happen? Your day is going to go on, and you're going to go through your day, and you're going to drive home from work, and you're going to be in traffic, and you're going to be, not you folks, because you're so spiritual, but you're going to be honking the horn and cursing at people, and then you get home, and, you know, I mean, then you read, and you're like, oh, I could have used that earlier today. I know, that honestly was my experience. I would read at night, and I would be like, oh, I could have really used that earlier when I was with my boss or a coworker. So I've really shifted to doing it in the morning. So hopefully that helps. Okay, more practical. So how long should I pray? Okay, well, first, as long as you can, of course. But what I kind of set a goal here for, I said, strive for 20 minutes. Okay, now maybe that seems too short, but what I'm talking about is you know, concentrated, effective prayer. And that's hard and that's difficult. You know, if you think you can pray effectively or concentrated for an hour, man, that's, you know, I'd like to see that. But, you know, and I'm not saying it can't be done, but it's difficult. Again, when I continue to come back to effective and concentrated. It happens in my life. I saw some of the questions about how we get off track. We kind of, I don't say daydream, but we lose focus when we pray. And it is, and that's tough. So jump into that question, how do we do that? Well, what I do, if I start praying and I do get off track, I just really stop right there. I'll say amen, kind of catch my breath, you know, kind of finish that prayer, and then go back to what I was praying, okay? So again, as you kind of daydream or drift away, you kind of need to grab it, kind of stop it, and then restart. So that's what I do to help that, to do the drifting, if you will. How do you fix that? And I'll talk about this later at the end, but writing things down really helps. So if you're one who your mind kind of wanders, definitely write it down. If you're one that, you know, you start praying and then you start thinking, oh, I got to call so-and-so and I got to walk the dog and cut the grass. Well, write it all down before. So these are the tasks I need to do. Set them there on paper and then leave that paper, of course, and go and pray, okay? You can always come back to that paper and say to yourself, well, these are the things that I needed to do, all right? So back to the 20-minute kind of, I guess, guide or rule. So if you're a beginner, that's fine. I would strive for 5 minutes, you know, and just kind of continuously work yourself up. The reason I kind of say that is for the average person, and we're not all average, but typically, you know, you have kids to raise, we have work to get to. So again, that's a good time frame. Now, if you're retired and you have nothing to do, then that's a little different, you know. But even if you're retired, maybe you're raising grandkids or helping grandkids.
Being retired is not being retired.
I know. Somebody just told me that, who just retired. I said, I don't know how I got any work done. But but again, I think you get the idea. Like, I'm off for the next 2 weeks. I'm on vacation, so I should have more time for prayer and those things. So. But yeah, so again, it is relative, but I think 20 minutes is a good time to shoot for. Okay, so we'll kind of move on here. So I named this kind of the bookends. Again, more practical. Okay, so we talked about kind of when and how to do it. So start your prayer by addressing God as Father. Okay, again, where do we see that? So I told you in a couple weeks we're going to look at what I call, you know, some call the Lord's Prayer. It's in Luke 11, so I'm going to kind of weave it into the, we're not going to look at it specifically, but I'm going to weave it into tonight's teaching. So you look at Luke 11:2 there, and he says, and he said unto them, when you pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven. Okay? So now we're not supposed to specifically repeat that, but we see Jesus here, you know, giving us instruction on how we should address God, and we should address him as our Heavenly Father. Okay? Again, earlier, a couple of chapters later, and I think Pastor, you know, we were in John 16 this morning, so I think next week he'll be on John 17, so it'll be interesting to see his take and his study on Sunday morning. But in John 17:1, this is Jesus' high priestly prayer, and it said here, these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father. So again, he addressed himself, you know, God as his Father. So I think we should too. So again, practical. So, you know, we can say, you know, we can start by saying Heavenly Father, Father in Heaven, Father God, Holy Father. Again, it's not a specific wording, but again, just looking at Scripture and just trying to, again, help us all have a more effective prayer life, it's important to address God as our Father, okay? Any questions on that or agreements, disagreements? Okay. The second kind of, I guess, the bookend here is, so end our prayer in Jesus' name. And it doesn't have to be specifically in those three words, in Jesus' name, okay? But we see here in John 14:13, the Bible says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, and that the Father may be glorified in the Son, okay? And again, I've heard people kind of as a close in prayer, you know, they say, you know, in the precious name of Jesus, that's fine. So people say, you know, through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, wonderful. Any way you want to, again, use it, but to pray in the name of Jesus. So setting up kind of these bookends, we'll get into the middle and the content, but we address God as our Heavenly Father, and we pray through the Son. Because, again, Jesus Christ is our mediator. So we go through the Son to reach the Father. Okay, so that's kind of the bookends or a good way to construct our prayers. Okay. Now, some of you may say, man, I've been praying for 20 years and I never prayed like that. Has God heard my prayers? Oh, yes. Again, it's not so much about the wording, as we alluded to, or I think I said before, it's about our heart. But again, it is good to tweak certain things. And again, in this class, we're trying to learn how to have the most effective prayer life. So, and it's good for doctrine. So we know that, you know, we have a triune God, the Trinity, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So when we address God the Father, we address Him as Father, and we pray through the Son. And we also can pray to the Holy Spirit. Again, as a Christian, He resides in us. Okay, so that's kind of, I guess, the bookends of how we should pray. Okay, so now the next part is, I guess, kind of the content, if you will, the middle. And some of you have probably heard this or seen this. So we have this acrostic called ACTS, okay? And ACTS stands for Adoration, Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And they'll be on there, so, you know, you can write them down, but we'll go through it. So what this is in, it's just a help, you know, to kind of like how you construct your prayer time, how should I pray. Again, I've heard this, and others have taught it. Again, it's not, you know, it's not me, or it's not, I didn't create this up, but it's just something that's, again, been a help, and been a framework, that's been a guide for people. So, okay. So, we start with adoration, okay? And we see from that. So, again, back to Luke 11, which is the Lord's Prayer here that we're going to be using. It says here, and he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? And of course, when you see that word hallowed, that's that word holy. All right? So God, our God, is a holy God, and his name is to be holy. So when we think of adoration, we think of praise and worship, okay, of our Heavenly Father. Part of that is, of course, to focus on who God is. That's okay. You can do whatever you need to do. Focus on who God is, on His holy attributes, okay? His goodness, His mercy, His everlasting love, and His saving grace, okay? And some of us may say, I thought worship was something, you know, I did when I came to church and sang in the choir. But worship is a part of our lives, or should be. It should be a part of our daily life, okay? So yeah, again, just hallowed is holy and sacred, and the word venerated, which may be a word we don't use too often, but it's set apart. Okay, our God is definitely set apart. In this kind of 4-point way of, I would think adoration may be the most difficult part for us to understand and grasp. But we develop adoration for God by really spending time in you know, God's Word, and specifically in the Book of Psalms. Okay. And through meditation. So if you're kind of weak on this part, as you develop your own prayer time, really spend some time in Psalms. Okay, and we'll look at one right now. So this is Psalm 148:13. And the Bible says, Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. Okay. I don't have it on there, but there's, you know, other verses. And the heavens shall declare the glory of God. So again, all throughout Psalms, it's really just adoration of God. Okay? So, and that's kind of how we should start. This order of the acts, adoration, it's kind of how we should open our prayer. So we start with our Father, and then we address some kind of adoration to Him. Now, is that new to some people, or is how do you mostly start your prayers? Do people just kind of, Lord, I need this, or how does, yeah? How?
It's new to me.
New? Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I start with, like, thanking Him.
First. Sure. And when I get to the end, there's no, again, it's just, this is a framework and a help. It's not like you must, you know, go in this order, but I think it's a good way to kind of get our heart prepared. But yeah. I mean, typically, and I even kind of taught this to myself, or even saw myself, I usually start by saying, Lord, we thank you, you know, but I after seeing this, I'm like, yeah, I just kind of want to, you know, start with a little bit more adoration. Okay. So I said this was like a practical class, and I won't drag anybody up here, but, you know, so how does that sound in our own words, okay? So, and again, there's all different levels in here, so how would I start if I'm a kind of basic? So I wrote this down. I put, you know, as a start, I would say, Heavenly Father, how wonderful you are. Okay, that's kind of how I would start or open a prayer, okay? You can, again, write that down. Or again, these are just thoughts, you know. Eventually, as you can develop your own prayer life, you're going to have your own words, but these are just some, again, some phrases and thoughts that I wrote down. A little bit longer or kind of deeper, I put here, Heavenly Father, I adore you for your greatness and marvelous works. Okay? And then lastly, and this is kind of like what I would say in a sense, but I put here, Heavenly Father, I come to you today, praising you for who you are. You alone are worthy to be worshipped. And that may be a little bit long, and it's kind of like, man, those are starting to sound like King James words, and you're sounding very lofty. But as I was saying, you have to make it our own. Typically, what I say is just, Lord, I just praise you for being God. You know, in my life over the last 25 years, being a Christian, roughly 25, you know, I know what that means, and I know my God knows what that means. But I just thank him for, you know, who he is and what he's done in my life. But again, we should really try to start with some sort, with an adoration of just expressing, one, how good God is. And again, and I say back to you in your own words, I remember when I got saved, my first youth minister would always pray this. He would say, Heavenly Father, you're awesome. And that's just, you know, that was his way, and it's true. He is awesome. But I would just say as a practical sense, if you do that, which is fine, just make sure in your own mind, in your own life, you reserve that awesome word for God. You know, because today, that pizza's awesome. You know, that ice cream is awesome. But, you know, no, only God is really awesome. So whatever you kind of choose to say and use, you know, just kind of reserve that word a little bit. Does that make sense? Any questions, thoughts? No? Okay. So again, don't get caught up in the fancy words, but get your own language and communication. Again, I'm going to keep saying it. It's a matter of the heart. What do you feel and what do you sense of the Lord? I know it's not so much feeling, but, you know, how do you respond for what God has done for you? Okay? Again, now back to the basics. So if you say, Mike, this is just, I can't even do this. This is way beyond. Okay, well, look, start with maybe reading a psalm. Pick a psalm, you know, in the morning, turn to the psalm, just read it as part of your prayer. Okay? There's don't, you know, however you need to start it is fine. Okay? You may just read a snippet of a psalm or a snippet of a scripture to kind of get you going. But whatever you need to do to just, again, get yourself going and acknowledging God for who he is. Okay? And again, the practical is kind of like, you know, we don't have kids, but Hank, I'm sure you have your kids, and I don't know if sometimes they ever just kind of come in the door and they say, hey, Dad, I need some money. Right? And it's kind of like, oh, thanks. How about saying hello? You know, it's just kind of that point of before we get to the Lord and say, well, I need this, 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 you know, it's just acknowledging him for who he is, you know. So that's, again, maybe an earthly example. I'm sure we've all done it, but just, again, to preparing our hearts for talking to the Lord and communicating with him. So, okay. Hopefully that maybe what was the most complex in a sense because maybe the hardest for some of us to do, but the next one hopefully is a lot easier. But so we go into the C in Acts, and that's confession. Okay? And we go back to Luke 11, 4. Again, you can just write down Luke 11 and go back to that and reread the Lord's Prayer there. And so then forgive us our sins. Okay? So, again, we use that as an example. So in a time of confession, as we go through our prayer, our daily prayer, it's, again, we admit to God what we have done wrong. Okay? But it's not just what we've done wrong, it's also the things that we should have done and didn't do, okay? I know Randy spoke a lot about that this in our Sunday school class. I think we're ahead of the other ones, so if you didn't get that lesson, you will. But what I mean by that is I'm looking at, it was already out there? This one, go. Sorry, okay. So yeah, James 4:17 says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good, and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Okay? So, in our time of confession, it's a time, of course, to say, hey, Lord, the things I did are wrong. Of course, I repent of that. You know, please forgive me. But it's also to have our minds and our lives searched through the Holy Spirit to see think of the things that we should have done and we didn't do. Okay? And I think as we mature, it's more going to be something like that. More of missed out opportunities in our lives than, you know, the things we did wrong. Not that we don't, so I'm not trying to imply that, but I think a lot of times as we mature, just in our walk, not even our prayer time, but in our walk with the Lord, we kinda, more of our sin is not doing the things we should do, if that makes any sense. So if not, let me know. Okay. I don't think I wrote this one down, but again, because I don't want to put too many up there, but Psalm 32:5 says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. So again, it's this notion of confession. So, and again, I want to do all the talking, but why is confession important? I mean, in our prayer time and in our lives in general. Somebody. Anybody.
Yeah. I think, and I'm thankful that you said it, but if you don't have an active prayer life that has confession as an everyday part of it, it stacks and it builds and it hardens and it blocks your ability to be intimate with God, and it becomes a fraudulent prayer life. It might be the most important aspect of a prayer life.
Yeah, amen. I would agree with that. And again, so what is the purpose of confession?
Okay. Pure hands and a clean heart.
That's right. To be clean. Right. So that's the word I was looking for. We have confession so we can be clean before the Lord. Okay? So again, as Christians, and that's, and so you weren't here, but the first lesson I said, I'm teaching the class that everyone's a born-again believer. So you're saved. You don't have to worry. So when you sin, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation or going to hell. But of course, we are not in fellowship with God. Okay? So that's why we need that confession. We need that confession to be clean. Okay? And get back in the proper and right relationship with Him. And that's why 1 John 1:9 is so important. I didn't put it up here. It was the first Bible verse I ever memorized when I got saved. And I was sharing with a person, and I said, you've got to know this, you know, because it's what we all need. But if we confess our sin, 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And that's that cleansing that we need, okay? So I like what Hank said, and that's why, yeah, confession, you know, it should be a part of our daily life and obviously a part of our daily life so we can be clean before Him. Because, again, we're working through, and if I don't think you have to be a mind reader to know that we're going to get it down, of course, asking for things as people, and that's right and that's fine, but how can you ask for things if you're not clean, okay? It's kind of like going back to, I picked on Hank, but all of us, you know, if your grandson or nephew or niece wants some money and they've been a total brat, you know, are you likely to give it to them? You know? Me? No. But so God is a gracious God, but God is also in His way of how He relates to us. He has there's certain relationships with Him that He's going to chasten us. You know, if He loves us and we're His child of God and we do wrong, He's going to correct us. He's going to chasten us. Okay? So confession is important. So we are clean before God, and we're in a right standing relationship and fellowship with Him, okay? And why is that important? It's important because when we speak, we want Him to hear us, right? Okay, and this is a very, very deep verse, so let me make sure I get it up there. Okay, so Isaiah 59:2, okay, this is God saying here, but your iniquities, or your sin, have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Okay, so this is pretty deep. So, kind of the question, does God hear all of our prayers? What do you think?
Yes.
Okay, He does, but looking at this verse here, in a certain way, He doesn't. Okay, so not to throw you off or anything, but again, and it's not that He cannot hear, God always hears, He knows, but he wills not to hear, if that's proper English, okay? So again, that's why we need to be clean. So when we go to God and we pray, He will hear us, okay? There's a couple questions, and we'll get maybe a little bit more into this next week because the answer is kind of a three-parter. But people had mentioned, and I think I even shared this in the first night, sometimes we pray, we just feel like our prayers hit the ceiling, you know, God doesn't listen. Well, one reason they do hit the ceiling is that we have unconfessed sin in our hearts, in our lives, okay? And I go, what? You know, God, I'm a child of God. He won't hear? He won't listen? No. I mean, He can, and again, He hears everything. But again, if we have unconfessed sin, He's not going to be listening all the time and blessing us, okay? So I know that may be a little deep for some people, and hopefully I verbalized that correctly or communicated that correctly, but if any questions on that, please let me know. So again, God hears everything, God knows everything, but he puts, I want to say, certain restrictions on himself that he will not listen, okay, if we have sin in our lives. But what is, again, in the nature of God, he hears everything, what is the one kind of prayer that he's always willing to hear? Yeah, well, praise, but it's the prayer of confession. So the unrepentant sinner, and so now we're going to kind of diverge to the world out there, the unrepentant sinner who comes to Christ and does confess, because you can say, well, he has sin. How can God hear? But God is always open and available to hear that prayer of confession. So whether it's a child of God confessing, whether it's, at that point, an unsaved person, God will hear that, okay, and he'll act. So very important to have confession so our lives and our walks are clean with God, so he'll hear our prayer, okay? And I mentioned about, back to that kind of that point of maybe sometimes it seems like our prayers just hit the ceiling, and I'll kind of give you a, remember like those old shows, the To Be Continued, we'll hit it next week. We'll hit it next week because, again, sometimes your prayers hit the ceiling, but it's not because of unconfessed sin. So just don't think that, and we'll kind of speak about that next week. So hopefully that's you come back for that, okay? All right, I think that's pretty good. Yeah, nobody had some points here in case, I'm not saying that you would challenge me, but if any questions on that, but okay. Yeah, so God's always eager to hear a prayer of confession. Okay. So we move to kind of the T in Acts, Thanksgiving, okay? And I think that one's probably the easiest for us to kind of understand. I have here 1 Chronicles, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, his love endures forever. Excuse me. All right, so Thanksgiving is that time we go before him and we just thank him for all the blessings he's given us. The things that he will give us, all right? I put here, our life, our salvation, our just forgiveness in general, that we have a God who forgives, healing, physical, all kinds of healing for our spouse, our family, our health, living in America, just on and on and on. And I say that because I'm going to get to a point later on where, I just hope nobody in this class is that person, and maybe you are, and don't take this the wrong way. Remember I talked last week, I'm a little abrasive. You kind of get to that point and you're saying, well, I don't know what to pray for. So if you don't know what to pray for, I'll send you an email and give you like 5,000 things that you can pray for. So that's definitely, hopefully not what we should be. Our plate should be overflowing of things to pray for. We should almost, and I'm going to speak this in a little bit, we should almost have a problem of when you say, what do I pray for? Because I feel overwhelmed, I'm on a Wednesday night, and I'm in Sunday school, and then there's just so many prayers kind of coming in, and how do I deal with that? So, if anything, we should be that should be our quote-unquote problem, and not, I don't know what to pray for. So, hopefully that makes sense. And Thanksgiving, of course, it shouldn't just be, once kind of, I say this like tongue-in-cheek, but once a year in November, Thanksgiving rolls around and we're all, around the dinner table or even here. What are we thankful for? I mean, a Thanksgiving and a thankful heart, again, it always goes back to your heart. It should be an everyday occurrence, just constantly. Lord, just thank you for this. Thank you for this. Thank you for this. I mean, our God is a great giver, and we just need to be receptive and thankful to him, okay? All right. No questions. Everybody's good. All right. So then lastly, supplication, okay? And I think supplication is kind of a fancy word, and I say some things like this, and sometimes they're tongue-in-cheek, and I'm going to say it like this. I'm a smart guy, but sometimes a lot of people want to impress you with big words, so I'm like, well, what does that mean? People go to college, they go get fancy titles, and they want to impress you, so... Supplication is a big kind of a fancy theological word, and it's just basically asking for things, okay? That's all it is. Kind of the biblical or more, the spiritual aspect is petitions, it's requests, but it's just, it's just asking for things, okay? It's asking our God for things. And the Bible's clear in James, and James all of James is a great book of application, so I encourage you, if you're not anywhere in your scriptures, pick up the book of James, and there's a lot in there. But as we get to James 4, specifically 2 here, the Bible says, "Ye lust, and ye have not. Ye kill, and desire to have, and ye cannot obtain. Ye fight in war. It says, yet ye have not, because you ask not." Okay? So the Bible is clear that we are, you know, our God is a loving God, and he wants us to ask. He wants us to come to him. You know, in Hebrews, it speaks of entering the throne room, okay, of going boldly in there, all right? So we don't have to, like, tiptoe or be timid, but he's the God of all the universe, but we can just walk in there with confidence, okay? And that's amazing how our God is. That's one of the unique characteristics of, I would say, the Christian God, okay? That he wants and desires a relationship with us. A lot of other faiths, and it's maybe getting off topic, but their God is very, very distant, you know? So our God is a loving God, and he wants us to come to him, okay? And then I have Philippians 4:6, and Pastor kind of stole my thunder this morning, so if you're here Sunday, I guess either service, I was at 8:30, and I know he read this, but the verse here in Philippians 4:6 says, "Be careful for nothing," or again, "be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication," there's our words, okay, "with thanksgiving," you know, we already spoke about that, "let your requests be made known unto God," okay? I don't have it up there, so that's it for the slides, and I have some things to discuss here, but so again, going back to Luke 11, again, you can read that and meditate on that kind of throughout your week, but you know, in Luke 11:3, it's where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," or "give us," King James, "give us day by day our daily bread," okay? So again, it's that time of supplication, is praying for our needs. What do we need, okay?
So where does praying for others come in?
Man, you just hit it. You just hit it. All right.
No.
Right here. So one kind of supplication, again, asking for stuff, okay, is intercessory prayer, okay? So, and again, that's another fancy word, intercessory. And again, I don't know if you've heard this or, and I mean, we don't have cable. I'll say this and don't all run out. You know, we watch TVN, but there's a lot of, you know, you need to have a lot of guidance and discernment watching TVN. So they'll have different, you know, maybe you've seen intercessory prayer services or all these things, but intercessory is just interceding or going in between, okay? So we all know what an interstate is. An interstate is a road between two states. So this is the same type of thing. It's to intercede, or it's to act on behalf of someone else. So in simple English, it's praying on behalf of another, okay? So again, back to, and I think I kind of hit some of this, but so what should I pray for when I'm interceding? Okay, so again, we're attending Plantation Baptist Church, so how should I intercede for others? So, pray for your pastor, right? Pray for your church, the church staff, their wives, the deacons, Sunday school teachers, opportunities for ministry, the gospel to go forth, salvation for people's families, marriages, conviction of people's hearts, okay? Then we kind of get outside in the realm of what we all love to talk about in just politics, right? Pray for our president, vice president, Congress, governor, local leaders, okay? That's all intercessory prayer. The Bible specifically speaks of that. Now, you may not like, and I'll just use the last two, you may not like President Trump, and you may not like President Biden, but we're called to pray for him, okay? We can get into this later, but you might say, well, if a president, and you know, I'm not speaking of one specifically, but is actively going against God's word, how do I pray for him? Okay, so we can talk about that if you have a question like that. But one thing I'll say specifically about kind of the politics, the culture, is we need to pray for them. What happened, and I'm not on it that much anymore, but I'm not on Facebook. My wife and I are not. I'm on Twitter, and you see a lot of things going on in the social media. But every time before you click a like or a retweet, I would just ask you to pray for that person, whoever it is. And whatever they're doing, positive or negative, you know, just pray for them, because if as a Christian church, if we got off social media and spent that time in prayer, man, this world would be so different. Okay, so that's my yeah, there you go, soapbox. We didn't have any more soapboxes. I don't know. Okay, so an intercessory prayer is like Miss Brenda was saying. That's really I said last week that we need to have you healthy, so you need to spend time, of course, praying, you know, getting close to the Lord, praying for yourself and your needs and your families, but we also need to be praying for others, okay? You know, we had, some of you may know or not know, remember that we had that prayer tent out at the Christmas lights, okay? That was our way of our church and our community to try to outreach the people. And again, this class isn't on evangelism, but one a great and super easy way to evangelize and share with people is just to say that, hey, do you need prayer? My church will pray for you. And if you've been here at all on a Wednesday night, you've heard Pastor how he loves when people say that, and he knows that, you know, that our church is going to pray for him. Pray for that request, okay? And again, if you've been here any time, so this is our Wednesday night bulletin, okay? So it's even just says prayer guide. So I don't know. Sometimes we get things, and we've been here so long, and we get them, we write, and it's like, oh, it said prayer guide? I didn't know that. Did anybody know that? Some did, but some didn't. Sorry. You know, so again, all the lists there. I was surprised I was going to say something, but I guess I didn't notice that. Remember, we used to have all the names of the families in the front? So I guess we took that off. So that wasn't good. But back in the day, we'd have the names of people for salvation, you know. So there's our guide there to pray for the salvation of people, okay? Obviously, we have the phone-in prayer requests, okay? And then, and I'm not trying to say this, you know, toot my own horn, but the back is the blue. That's the ones that we're, you know, supposed to write down. And again, I told you I'd be a little abrasive because, man, I was years ago, but I remember one time, you know, pastor was preaching and, or I'm sorry, he was taking the prayer requests and then he kind of got off the pulpit. And I don't know if you were here that night, and he walked down, he's like, Did you write anything? You know, people were like, you know, their heart was racing. So, because again, it's not about just him or the deacons or whoever, you know, it's about all of us. And this is where I get to. So you might say, okay, well, Mike, I get that. I should write something down, but should I write everything down? Okay. Well, no. Okay. I mean, you can if you want, but again, I'm trying to kind of build a foundation. So the next question is, what should I write down? All right. Well, what impacts your heart? Okay. And I'll say it this way. So my dad passed away of cancer. He had, was diagnosed with stomach cancer. Long story short, you know, diagnosis to his passing was like 30 days, basically. So whenever anyone gives a prayer request for cancer of any kind, you know, boom, that goes on my list. I was affected by that. You know, I can tell you stories and things and how to walk through that time. So I can relate 10,000,000%. So I write that down, you know, immediately. Again, I'm just being honest, and hopefully honesty breeds, you know, success. And my wife's going to be like, oh, you should have said that. But okay. What's that?
Let me pray for you first.
Okay. But, well, I'll just say, not every request I pray for because it doesn't resonate with me, okay? And that's not to say that prayer request isn't valid for that person, but like I said, the cancer ones are specifically to me. You know, I write that down. Some of you may have maybe been in a car accident while traveling, okay? So when somebody says, you know, I need traveling mercies, bam, that's you, you know? So what's my point, of course, was you don't have to write down and pray for every single thing, but hopefully in a body as of ours, with our size, you don't have to write down everything, but hopefully everything gets covered, okay? So that's what we're trying to do. Now, again, you know, more practical tips. If you're, you know, the church is divided into like four sections, right? So maybe wherever you sit, if you're on like that, you know, piano 45, you pray for the people in that row. You know, if you're in kind of that second center, you know, you pray for that row, and I think you get the idea. So, however, you know, you need to think about that, you know, just write down something, you know, and not, you know, write down, again, what impacts your heart. And the main thing, of course, is to, when you leave there, to follow up on it. Because it doesn't make any difference to write down, you know, 50, 70 names, and you go home, and it's stuck in my car, you know, between here. And, hey, look, as it happened, yeah, I'll be the first one to admit. I've done that, you know. Or I put it in my Bible, right? Here you go. You write it all down, and then it goes right here, right in this first sleeve, and then, you know. Again, I'm trying to be humorous, but I'm just trying to say I'm supposed to be the teacher, but it happens to all of us. But how do we fight that? discipline. You know, we've got to just work on it, you know, of trying to put things in front of us or, you know, whatever we need to do. If you want it on your phone, I have no problem with, you know, the phones and electronics and things, but whatever it's going to take for you to you know, remember to pray. Secondly, back to intercessory, and again, we said we want to have an effective prayer life, right? That's kind of the I'll end this here. The lesson of the class. Follow-up. Follow-up is phenomenal, and that's why I'm saying as far as, I mean, don't write down a million names, and even if Pastor were to bust you, you say, Pastor, you go talk to Mike Cassis. Go back me up 100%, and I totally will. I totally will. But if you can follow up, that's just phenomenal. I mean, how it affects people. Okay. He's okay. And if you've been here long enough, there was a lady by the name of was it Miriam Siliciano? And she would always be like, "What happened? What happened? What happened?" And man, it was just phenomenal. You know, the impact of a follow up of what happened. So I know, and honestly, you know, she's with the Lord now. Excuse me, but she impacted my life in my prayer time, and to say, you know, how do I, you know, to follow up and to be more effective, okay? So pulling one off the prayer list. So one of the persons we prayed for was Chad Bailey, and again, you may not know him, but I know him. And again, I'm going back to real basic, and some of you may, that sounds really basic, but you know, so how would I pray for him? You know, and let's kind of forget what we learned tonight. But I would pray like, because Chad Bailey's battling COVID, and I would just say, Lord, help Chad Bailey to breathe. Okay, no fancy words, no nothing else there. But it's a prayer. It's the heart, Lord. We do want him to be healthy. We do want him to breathe effectively. Okay, so again, just a simple example, and I have others, but. I think you get the idea. So the acrostic of Acts, you know, it helps us to remind the different characteristics of our prayer time. You know, I think it sets the proper order. Can you go out of order? Yes, absolutely. But again, overall, it's a good way to kind of think about it, how to structure your prayer. You know, we have the book of Acts, so hopefully Acts should be pretty easy to remember. You know, it's not the gospel, it's not doctrine, but it's a tool. It's a tool to help us how to pray. And then just kind of some thoughts here. So as new Christians, we probably spend a lot of time in the supplication level, okay, just asking for things. Lord, I need this, I need this, I want this, I want this. But as we mature in our prayer life and as Christians, hopefully we kind of work up the ladder a little bit. Yeah, we always want to have intercessory prayer and praying for others, but we spend more time kind of on that, either that Thanksgiving or that adoration time, where we just spend time truly, you know, with the Lord, praising him for who he is, okay? So, tomorrow, our challenge is to wake up in the morning. Okay, we're going to connect and we're going to communicate with God. Okay, we're going to go to a quiet spot. We're going to think of that term, Acts, you know. We're going to write it down if you need to. You can write everything down, okay? Don't be afraid or, you know, again, I don't know what people kind of think, but you can write everything down. When you pray, you can even open your eyes. I mean, I don't know if people, you know, they get so accustomed to closing their eyes, but again, if you're at home and you have your kind of an outline of things you want to pray, you just keep them open and go through it. Okay, so so yeah, so write down whatever you need to do and just work through it, okay? So write down what you're going to pray for and keep your eyes open. And then let God do the rest. Okay, work through your prayer sheet, work through your prayer list, and let God do the rest. All right. Some of the answers to some of the questions, and I wanted to kind of bring it up now is so one of the questions or one of the responses to the questions I had was so they said, how do I be confident and effective in my prayer life? Okay, I don't know who it is, but I love this word confident. And I have this saying, and I really live by it. My wife may or may not know, but I say confidence breeds confidence, okay? So how do you become confident and effective in prayer? It begins by doing it and then doing it again and again and again. And there's only one word, repetition. Again, it may not sound spiritual. Maybe you were kind of trying to come and get this, oh, is there some magic word I have to say, you know, open sesame or whatever. No. It's repetition. It really is, you know. Whether it's throwing a football. How did Tom Brady get so great? Yeah, he has some natural attributes, but it's repetition in repetition, okay? So that's what I can offer for that one. Just got to do it, got to start, and do it over and over again, okay? And again, anybody has any other thoughts or points, you know, feel free. One other kind of question or statement was, I don't want to say the same thing every time I pray, okay? So I sat here, let's mix it up. So if you're talking about intercession, like if you always say, Lord, pray for this person, help this person, okay? Maybe mix it up. So I kind of had a list one time, or I guess a calendar, if you will. But I would pray for like missionaries on Monday, okay? Tuesday, I'd pray for our church and its ministries. Wednesday, I'd pray for government. Thursday, like for your family and for salvation. And then Friday, like for your circle of influence. And what I mean by that is like your work, your neighborhoods, coworkers, your HOA, your school, anywhere that you really come in contact to. Okay, so that's one way of doing it. If you're talking about, you know, like if I would say, Lord, thank you for today. And that's kind of where your prayer constantly is. Okay, and that's a good point to start. So you're thanking God. But I would switch to focusing on maybe some specific aspects of God's character, okay? So what do I mean by that? So I would continue to say, Lord, thank you for today, but I thank you for your mercy, okay? So maybe on like one day you just kind of focus on that and think about and meditate on God's mercy. And the next day, or, you know, you get the idea. Lord, I thank you for today and for your salvation, you know, for your peace, for your joy, for vision. So I would maybe do that. I would kind of rotate through God's his attributes or his characteristics, but I would rotate through that and kind of and add that to my my prayer list. So does that make sense or does that help? Okay.
So you're basically saying you should come. It's almost like an outline to help yourself, like kind of be prepared before you get to that point.
Yeah. In the beginning, whatever you need to do to make it more effective. Again, I think through like discipline, it'll come like second nature. You know, I think, and I don't want to keep going like back to exercise, but I know you sometimes go to the gym. I don't go to the gym, but I'm just saying, you know, you see people with apps and it's like, okay, I need to do the bench press, and you have it all set up there. But after a while, you just go in and you knock out, you know, what you need to do. So it'll be with the same thing in prayer. It may seem very academic. Is that the right word? But robotic. But whatever it takes to kind of get you through, and I'm saying just through it, but to get you disciplined and structured to do it. Okay. Good. And then just lastly, this one question was. How to improve the way I pray. Okay, so I thought that was pretty good. So I put here, and probably going to say not again, but I would pray the scriptures. Okay? So what do I mean by that? Okay, so you don't have to turn there or you listen, but 2 Corinthians 10:5, okay, speaks of, this is the Bible verses, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bring it into captivity, every thought to the obedience of Christ. Phenomenal, phenomenal verse. Okay, so that's 2 Corinthians 10:5. So how would I pray that? So again, my prayer time, Heavenly Father, help me to take captive disobedient thoughts. Okay? Lord, guard my mind and my thoughts. Okay? Lord, help me to think about things that are good and true and holy. Okay? And that last part, when I said think about or meditate on things that are good and true and holy, I'm really pulling that from Philippians 4:8. Okay, so again, I'm praying the scriptures. Again, because I'm trying not to beat the dead horse, but, you know, your prayer life is going to be affected so much by your knowledge of the Word of God. Okay? And again, it's not. I'm not saying pray the scriptures to be impressive and to, you know, impress people. It's just who we are as Christians. Okay? So here's a tough one, and might freak some of you out, but how would you pray against Antifa? How would you pray against white separatists? How would you pray against LGBTQ, whatever the slogan of the day is, right? what would you do? What would you say? Again, back to God's word. So I would pray, Lord, your word says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, okay? But against powers and principalities and spiritual wickedness. Where am I pulling that from? I'm pulling that from Ephesians 6, and specifically 12, okay? Lord, it's not the people who are our enemy. You love these people. You died for these people. And that point is true. I mean, they're sinners like us. Their sins may be different, but they're still sinners. We pray for their salvation, okay? We pray that they would see the light of your word. But we pray against the strongholds and ask that you tear them down, okay? I know, like, I think a lot of us have been affected by what we see on TV or what's going on in our world. But I think, you know, I went to Ephesians 6 and really started praying that, Lord, you would tear down those strongholds. Lord, you would defeat those evil, wicked forces, okay? But again, we got to remember, it's not the people. God loves the people. He doesn't love the sin, and he doesn't want their sin, but he loves those people, okay? And I know that's sometimes tough for us to maybe hear. Again, we kind of see it on TV, but that's the gospel truth. You know, God loves those people, and he wants them to come to salvation through his son, okay? So that's pretty much everything I had for tonight. We'll kind of, next week, we'll continue on with more, some practical and kind of continue some step-by-steps. But hopefully now you kind of have a construct of how you can begin a prayer, how you should pray. Again, it's a framework. It's not the gospel. But I think now you have a lot of tools to really wake up tomorrow, you know, be effective, be disciplined, and start having that consistent prayer life. When it comes to praying for others, you know, for intercessory prayer, you have your own immediate families and things you can pray for. You have the prayer, you have the prayer list here. You know, you have other things. So if you run out of ideas, let me know, and I can send some your way. So with that, any questions or thoughts or anything? Yes, ma'am.
There was a time pastor spoke from the pulpit and said if we did not know what to pray for him specifically, to pray Colossians 1:9 through 12 or 13, 11.
Okay. I don't know the second, but okay. And I know recently he gave out a list of, like, and it was basically, yeah, things to be thankful for, and it was a lot of God's own attributes. So yeah, so if you are at a stumbling block, but if you have like writer's block, then come see me, see us, see the church office, and there's definitely we have tons of things to pray for. So so again, hopefully practical but yet spiritual, grounded in God's word, counsel, again teaching. Don't forget that first verse when the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. It's not something that just comes naturally to everybody, okay? It needs to be worked. It needs to be developed. Hopefully some of the things I said have helped. Hopefully this framework will help. And we just have to start, and we just have to do it. So with that, would anybody like to close in prayer and exercise their public prayer skills? Or if not, I will close this out.
I can close this out.
All right. Thank you, Brother Hank.
Holy Father, we just come before you, and we're so thankful that you just even allow us to approach you. That
yes.
We truly are not worthy to do that, but you are forgiving, you are merciful, you're just too. Just like Leanne will often pray that we can sit here and praise you and thank you for hours, and
yes,
we would not even begin to scratch the surface of what you're doing, and that is you. I just thank you for Mike and Joe leading this class. I just immediately gained a thought. Mike said, just pray simply for Chad Bailey to breathe. It's just, sometimes you want to say things and add things and lengthen things, but God wants us to be direct and to the point, and I'm just thankful for that knowledge. I'm thankful, Father God, for the people in this class that
yes.
are just hearing what you put on Mike's heart, and with the knowledge that Mike has of you, he spent a lot of time getting to know you and has a deep knowledge of you and reverences you because of his knowledge, and I'm so thankful that he just is sharing that with us. I pray, Father, that you would just keep us and watch over us as we travel home, and help us to put into our prayer life tomorrow some of the points
yes,
and things that you laid on Mike's heart. And just ask these things in Jesus' name.
Amen. 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 All right, well, you're dismissed. Like I said, I'll be up here each night. If you want to ask any private questions or even want prayer or anything, feel free. But with that, you are dismissed. No problem. Glad you can make it. Find new roads.
I was like sleeping and I was like,
there you go, there you go.
Because like my other daughter, she was like me and Morgan is like left me like him. And then Turner.
Oh, no problem.
Okay.
Oops.